And we are live.
All right, stocks are up.
Yep. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are ready to go.
We're zoomed in and hot, ready to blast off. What's...
What?
Okay. Why did you do this?
We were... could have gone around the shot. That's why I cued him saying...
You want to enter as discreetly as possible
when you're late
during a live broadcast.
So, in theater, they teach you to slip right in.
Yeah,
but on the internet...
I love the water, please.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
Yeah, you can almost see my face. Hold on.
On the internet, internet,
yeah,
it's the opposite of theater. You want to be as bombastic as possible
because
there's so much competition for the attention. How do you get it? You got to be a beacon, a ray of sunshine.
You got it.
That's why I'm here.
Great.
All I know is that this week on the subreddit, someone posted a video of Sean being fashionably on time.
What?
Which is exactly what you just were.
We have a subreddit?
Theme song. Welcome, Mega 64 Podcast. It's a huge anniversary tonight.
Is it?
What's the
anniversary?
It is a week since the best show, and tonight we're going to top it.
Oh, wow.
Tonight we're going to top. Last week's podcast was pretty good, but I think this one is just going to blow the roof off.
Mm. Last week's podcast was great, and it's not our fault if anything went wrong.
Right.
Because
nothing
it's,
went
because
wrong.
It's because one, nothing went wrong,
flawless.
And if anything did go wrong, it's all our fault.
Yeah, right. that's on you, the viewers. Yeah.
Honestly, check your computer.
Yeah. What's wrong with your computers?
If something was wrong with the podcast, get a new computer. I don't know what else to say, because on our end, it was great. It was 4K.
Go down to Fry's. Yep. Go down to the Apple Store, wherever computers are sold. Walk in there and say, I need the most expensive thing you've got.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll do it.
No ThinkPad
bullshit. Yeah. Hopefully the podcast will run smoothly.
I enjoyed the fan art someone did of last week's episode. It was like Rocco all glitched out.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was sick.
It's like he was being jacked into the Matrix.
Yeah. Wow. It was just
like you're not already jacked in as we speak.
Okay, are we going to talk about the Matrix again?
If we jack you into the Matrix, does that mean you leave this world?
Camera on me. Okay. You are but a copper top. You are but a double A in a pack of double A's for a civilization that doesn't even know your name. Uh-oh. In a prison you cannot touch or taste or smell.
Yeah.
Dude, you took
You are a Rage Against the Machine CD inside a Sony Walkman CD player that is powered by a Duracell Rabbit. Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
That's
mixed
you.
Mediums.
Yep. And Duracell, of course, what is a corporation. So enough said on that one.
Do you guys remember the commercials that Duracell used to do of like the family?
Yeah. Oh, the
like
rubber suit.
Those were kind of scary.
They were scary.
Yeah, creepy.
That was some weird shit.
The 90s was very edgy, very raw.
Yep.
And a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was.
So just the way we like it. Woo! Going to be a good show tonight. Podcast 307 or whatever
that is
number
so,
it is.
I think
that sounds right.
What is it, 431?
432.
432.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
430s.
Okay, close. So we're going to kill it. Just like we killed it on the internet this week by not dropping a new video. We didn't need to.
We didn't need to.
We were
too much.
So strong with our internet presence this week. We had a new video. It was on the docket ready to go. And we said, you're not ready.
Is that what we said?
You're not ready. Yeah, so we deleted it. It won't ever come out.
Oh my God.
They don't deserve it almost.
No, it's just we're not at that level.
Okay. All right.
Too many haters.
Too many haters.
Too many preps out there. Not enough likes. We get 10 more likes on our Facebook page. Maybe we'll release the next video.
Yeah, but that's a hard maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, you know, not to derail too much, because we always like to talk about our stuff up front, but I just wanted to say, we never talk about it on the main podcast, how much, I'm just speaking for myself, but Loved the new Lasagna Cat videos that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Put those out. Great videos. You know, check out Lasagna Cat. Look it up on YouTube if you've never seen it. Garfield-related masterpieces of cinema on YouTube. I mean, the best thing on the internet as far as I'm concerned. Wow. However, man, there's a great... I just was reminded of this because there's a great interview with the creators of those videos.
Fatal Farm.
Oh. It's two guys that make up Fatal Farm. They made the videos. There was an interview with them on... I didn't realize DJ Doug Pound had a podcast.
Oh.
The Poundcast. And he had them on, and they talked about how those videos, those new Garfield video, those new Lasagna Cat videos, were finished in like 2012, 2013.
What the fuck?
They've been done. Holy shit. And they were like, not ready for it. Like, it was just like, we don't know how to release these in a way that will make an impact. Because, you know, if we do it now, then it's like, oh, good, more. And that's it. So they just kept getting busy, but they kept trying to think of like a big event to put it out around.
And then they came up with the
hotline thing.
Sex survey hotline.
Yeah. And so it was just like sitting on them until it was like the right
time,
as opposed to just dumping them out.
Like patient of them.
Yeah.
What if the world had ended?
Yeah.
It was that year. Yeah, that year.
That would have been my big concern.
You'd be sitting there looking at the fallout.
The saddest thing about the world ending would be no more Lasagna Cat.
I think as a creator, you'd be going like, the EMP took out the hard drives with the unreleased Lasagna
Cat.
That's what
you would be thinking about.
I'd be like, oh, my legacy, fuck.
That was the one realistic moment that I felt was in the movie Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Is I remember they're all tied up and ready to die. And the guy, and you hear his thoughts and he goes, I can't believe we're all going to die right now. And we won't know what happens in Lost. And I thought, wow, that was really real at the same. And then I thought about another second and I thought, well, this movie's dated as fuck now.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Arvids.
Still works. Nobody know what happened in Lost.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Brian's still watching Lost. So
he is, he never left the island. But anyway, enough of these other people's videos. On to the good stuff. Arvids.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't put out a new one. But
fuck everybody else.
We got, let me just tell you, there will be an awesome behind the scenes thing coming this week. Behind the scenes, what went on backstage behind our video we did with Fumito Ueda and Tim Sweeney. We made those videos at the same time. And it was a very crazy experience.
A two-day span.
Yes. And you're going to see everything that went into that. And it's going to be good. That should be out this week. So look forward to that.
It's going
to
be so good.
Normally, we don't tell you what's going to come out. But this, you knew there was something coming.
This is so good. We have to just tease it.
I'm going to hype it up so it can only disappoint.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, amazing. The most provocative thing you've ever seen.
Some of the funniest stuff.
They're going to correct the Oscars, take it away from Moonlight.
Yeah.
Give it to us.
They're going to go, yeah, we need to give this to something a little more important.
Double correction.
Mega 64, that football vid, tight.
Sick. Retroactive
trophy
handing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, what you're going to see this week is kind of like a better Moonlight.
Yeah.
A more poignant version.
Wow.
Anyway.
A better Moonlight.
More poignant.
Yeah. Or more important Moonlight, kind of.
It's like a better version of The Matrix.
Yeah.
Meets a better version of Moonlight.
Yeah.
That's the video we're planning on releasing.
Yeah.
Wow.
This week.
If you don't think it lives up to that, then that's not the video that we're talking about.
You might not be ready for that one. Anyway, we talked about that it was on the way. We talked about it last week that it was on the way, but in case you didn't see it, our Patreon got a new episode of Friend Dimension this past week. You got another chapter of Resident Evil 7.
I got some feedback on this one, and everyone was saying I picked the wrong girl to save.
That's what I told you, too.
That I'm fucked up because I chose poorly.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Didn't you abandon the girl?
My girlfriend, I got the other girl.
He chose Zoe.
I chose Zoe.
Yeah, so you're the type of guy who, when the going gets hard, you just trade up.
No, I just felt like, oh, this chick's new.
Loyalty.
Trader Sean over here.
Is that what we were meaning to notice by the hat or what?
Yeah,
Benedict
Sean.
Chetfield.
Want someone. Can someone make a shirt design or like an old rustic wooden sign that says Trader Sean's?
I want
it. And it's got him looking like this on it. Yeah. Thank you in advance, artist.
Thanks, guys. I just feel like Mia is my girlfriend, right?
Yeah,
Mia. She lied to me, said she was going somewhere. She went to this house, stayed there on her own will. Stabbed me a couple times. Yeah, you can go. No. Sorry.
It's a breakup. It's officially a breakup.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
So whatever.
You're crazy. What does your wife think about the decision you made?
Oh, she was on board, 100%. All right. She watches all the Friend Dimensions, and she said that was the right thing to do.
There you go.
Just abandon the relationship and go to the new love.
All she said, I'm so glad you're my husband.
Yeah. I hope it works out with you and Zoe.
Yeah.
But yeah, some more Resident Evil there. There's more Friend Dimension to come. We played some unusual stuff on upcoming episodes, so look forward to that.
Sexual.
Exactly. It does get sexual. So it will be, that'll be on our Patreon too. So if you want to see it, get on our Patreon, you know, get in on that and you can see it. There was also, Garrett, you did a successful PPS this week. Did it work out?
Worked out great.
We had some weird streaming situations the past couple weeks, but it worked good.
Well, last week, the podcast, like we said, entirely not our fault.
Yeah.
But previous Wednesday, the PPS, that was all my fault. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this last Wednesday, no, Flying Colors. It's already up on the archive stream.
Yeah, what'd you play?
Did I play? I brought various Twisted Metal games. I think.
Nice.
Oh.
I've played Twisted Metal on the PPS before, but my favorites are Twisted Metal 2, Twisted Metal Black, and then we threw in some Lost Levels, which is some Twisted Metal Black.
What's
2
better, Mario's
stuff.
Lost Levels or Twisted Metal's Lost Levels?
Dude, I gotta hand it to him. Twisted Metal Black 2 never got made, but there were these levels that they put out on, like, Twisted Metal Head On was a PSP game that got a PS2 release.
Yeah.
And it also got these Lost Levels and this weird, like, third person Sweet Tooth dungeon crawler. Like, you just, like, you find treasure chests and it gives you, like, facts and cutscenes about the games.
And you're driving around shooting stuff from your car?
Well, these are, like, three things that were kind of three game modes packed onto this, like, one of the last PS2 games I ever got.
Mm-hmm.
But the PS2 Lost Levels, or the Twisted Metal Black 2 Lost Levels were pretty fun.
Cool. What is the best Twisted Metal? Like, right now, you play.
I go...
Twisted Metal 2!
There's a new Twisted Metal. They kind of did a remake on PS3.
Yeah,
it's just called Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good, and the online connection and everything is, as far as I know, still up and working. I don't know how many people are playing it actively.
Sure.
But I always... just jump right into the PlayStation 1 Twisted Metal 2 and can play that for hours.
Damn.
I have that on every, like, portable Sony device I have. The first one, it's funny, you know, like, it was already out, and when I got my PlayStation, Twisted Metal 2 was the hotness. So that was just what I got schooled on. And then I have since gone back and I have a copy of Twisted Metal 1.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know.
That's what
Twisted Metal 2 is like
first generation PlayStation games, like Cool Borders 1.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal 1.
See, I had
the original
Cool Borders
Crash
2.
Bandicoot. Yeah. They
Jet Moto
really
2.
Up.
Yeah. I was really bred on when I got my PlayStation, it was all the sequels. It was Jet Moto 2, Cool Borders 2, Twisted Metal 2.
The golden age of PS2.
Yeah. What do you think is the, not to get too off the topic.
No, I love the nostalgia.
But just in terms of like a game that impressed you, a game that like came out with a new console or like a new generation of games, what's the one you think was the biggest like, whoa, this is the next generation of video games? Like, in terms
Sonic
of a launch game.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Sonic Adventure?
Mario.
Yeah, on the Dreamcast.
I remember that, with the whale going through the... blew
like
my mind.
3D levels.
Yeah, 3D levels.
It just went really fast, and graphics looked really smooth for its time.
Yeah, that was really... specifically, the whale part was like, whoa.
And I remember being in Toys R Us and that blowing my mind.
But I'm going to give it to Mario 64.
You never had
a game like that on a system like that. And it was like, it was Mario. So translating Mario to that was like, oh man, like video games just changed.
That did change everything too.
Yeah.
Those two. That was at the same time though, wasn't
it? I feel like at the end of Super Nintendo's era, they were trying to do 3D. And I remember there were a lot of rudimentary 3D games where it's kind of just like a flat plane and stuff. Almost like Doom style, the original Doom, where you know what I'm talking, where you're kind of just in a box, like walking around.
Yeah, they really tried.
So when Mario 64 came out, it was almost like they had perfected that, what they were trying to go for at the end of Super Nintendo era.
Yeah,
I missed out.
Like, kicked it in.
All those Nintendo consoles you guys just named, I didn't have growing up.
You didn't
have
Super Nintendo or anything?
No, I went from NES to Sega consoles.
Yeah.
And then I went to PlayStation.
Same here.
But the one that I can kind of think of would be Halo and that first Xbox. Because I didn't you know want what? An Xbox, but
that was huge.
All my friends, big.
Me and Luke couldn't believe it.
I was at that perfect age where, you know, all my friends, like, you know, younger teenage guys or adult guys, all were playing Halo on an Xbox. So they're like, dude, you got to get it. We hook them up through the internet. And it was awesome.
I never liked first person games or shooters. I didn't like Doom or GoldenEye. Just, I didn't like any of that stuff. Yeah. Halo was the first for me where it all clicked into place.
Yeah.
Where that game came out and it was like, wow, this game is smooth. Because honestly, it's not like with GoldenEye, it was just purely technical. It was very like rough frame rate. And
I just got my kind ass of an
ugly,
kicked.
It was just kind of an ugly game. And
It was ugly.
Yeah, and I don't know, something didn't click with me. Halo was like, man, this shit is smooth. You can play with other people easily. It was just like everything was in synergy. It was like, wow, I want to play this all day long. That was my shoot.
System.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was a mind blower for me. So I mentioned Mario 64, but I would say the other one too. It was Wii Tennis. Like playing that and like that's less so on the graphical. This other but stuff we're going to talk about is graphical. Though. Yeah, but it was just like, whoa, like we're in another time, you know. But less on the gameplay side, I guess, more than the whatever the hardware, I guess, is more what I'm talking about. Anyway,
talking hardware, nerdy.
Back
that's
to
what
software.
We do, yeah. But we're talking games anyway. It's okay.
This is the number one video game podcast on the internet, so
it's kind of a nerd thing.
We're obligated to talk about video games from time and again.
We are. I think it, without further ado, I mean, I think no intro needed. We should, let's see, what time is it? I think we need another half hour of sucking Zelda's dick.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Should we do it? Do we have a theme for that?
No. Let's talk Zelda. The rest of it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Zelda.
It just never stops. We still have more shit to...
Have you heard of it?
You know,
I'm breathing like the wild.
Nobody dislikes it.
Wait, hey, you know if it's good yet? Did you end up getting your Switch working or what?
Me?
Yeah.
I was telling these guys, I think I love my Switch. I love it. I think I have the Switch that has everything wrong with it.
Yeah, every rumor that I've heard about hardware shit.
I can't get.
I don't know anyone else that has them.
I can't get it to connect to the internet, and now my left controller is like
doing
losing.
That thing.
Yeah, it's like losing. Every once in a while, I'll be playing Zelda, and it'll just lose power.
Do you need to contact Nintendo?
My controllers will just go out of sync, and I'll have to like reboot them or
get Reggie on speed.
It'll
dial.
Just like you know, I'll be. I won't be able to control Link for like, you know, 10 or 15 seconds.
There's going to be an answer to that in the next coming days. Because like, you're not alone.
I'm not worried about it. I'm still enjoying Zelda.
Yeah.
But yeah, bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Because mine has been, it shocked me how seamless and easy everything was. Like, it's simple.
I really wanted to download some games. Yeah. So I had something to play other than Zelda, and I can't. So.
And it's not like
is there anything good to download? I haven't even looked at the store, honestly.
I mentioned this on another podcast, but I got the developer I think Inti Creates is how you pronounce it. I see it in writing. I never say it out loud. Inti Creates put out Blaster Master on the store. It's a very very old style 2D game. It's a total ground up remake of the NES Blaster Master. Yeah. But they made the gameplay great and visually it's great and all that.
Cool.
And it's awesome. That's a lot of fun. I would recommend that.
Okay.
That's about it.
So my girlfriend just got one.
Oh yeah.
But has no games.
Oh, and then it's
all just all we've been doing is the Splatoon test fire.
Yes.
No, because she's got Zelda on Wii U. But we went to a Best Buy today to just see like what cartridge games are even out. There was nothing on the shelf except for spare Joy-Cons.
Really?
Yeah. And that's it. Hmm. Like no games. No.
Everything sold out.
It's just like
I found a bunch of games at Toys R Us.
Oh really?
They had full selection, but it was not
slim pickings.
Yeah, it was like Bomberman 2.
Just Dance.
It reminds me of the PS2 launch.
1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah, the PS2. Fantastic machine. And then it's like, what are you doing? You're playing Fantavision? You're making fireworks pop? Like, what are we doing?
I will say, it does have the best game out right now on it.
Yeah.
But I'm just playing it on the old console, so I don't get to experience it. But... Yeah, nothing really else that is looking interesting.
Yeah,
check out Blaster Master.
That's every Nintendo. I mean, again, like 3DS right now has like one of their most robust libraries ever.
Yeah.
But when it came out, it was like, you know, there by this point, think of when the Switch came out to right now.
Yeah.
By this point in the 3DS life, I had friends that were already selling it. And it's like, dude, you got to give it fucking time.
Yeah, you do really got to give it time.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's coming. Is this so hard to find? You can't buy them anymore, right? Like,
it's pretty hard to find.
Hmm.
But they're promising this week a lot of stores are supposed to get it back.
Oh, really? It's weird because you would just think that they would have prepared for this. But I would say about Nintendo.
Nah, Nintendo's into the whole scarcity thing.
But also, hardware is like that. I mean, that's so in demand right now. I understand some shortages, but it seems like I said, this week they're supposed to get a ton of them. It seems like they're doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I also think
bring them back
as a safety net. Companies won't make way too many, like, overstock the hardware, because what if there is some catastrophic Galaxy 7
with the Wii U?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. What if
that's sad?
What if there's some crazy hardware default, like I was saying, Galaxy X7 exploding battery kind of thing.
Sure.
And then you're stuck with a warehouse full of shitty equipment. Maybe you wait and the soft launch is some. Yeah. You know, 6 months of scarcity, and then you start pumping them out when you're sure it's working right.
Yeah, of course, Nintendo is generally the one company that I don't expect their shit to explode.
What was the what was the Wii U as far as just sacking? It just didn't sell well.
Oh, they just made Wii. You couldn't find it for 2 years,
right?
And so when Wii U came out, it's like, oh, don't worry, we pumped out a billion of them.
I see what you're saying.
And then no one bought it
because no one knew what it was.
That's sitting everywhere.
Again, everyone thought it was an expansion for the Wii. No one got that it was a new console.
I remember seeing people at like Target saying that stuff like 3 years after it came out.
Yeah.
I remember picking something up at Target and the grandma was like, okay, so this connects to the Wii? No. It's a whole new thing. It's like, well, if we're this far in and that is not clear. Of course, it was grandma, you know.
They're fucking stupid.
Yeah, grandma. You know, grandma, you're watching this.
All know. Okay, real quick, side note. The solution to everything in this world.
Yeah.
Kill all the grandmas.
Yep.
Oh, no.
I love my grandma. I hate to say it, but they've been around too long. Oh, but now they're doing all this stupid shit.
Who's going to give me $50 for my birthday?
What happened?
Let me tell you, buddy. When grandma dies, you get all that mattress money.
Exactly.
So, I don't know.
$50 every day for the rest of your life.
Oh, shit.
What happens at grandma's stays at grandma's.
I can live off $50 a day.
What the fuck are you doing at grandma's?
Killing them, robbing
shooting
them,
guns.
Yeah,
getting the money. You saw Sopranos.
Yeah,
my brother found
Holly
that
just
sign.
Killed that old lady.
My brother found that sign at like a thrift store. What happens at grandma's stays at grandma's. So, kids, don't forget that. Great advice.
Someone else across the country found one that said, "What happens at Nana's stays at Nana's."
Yeah,
it's like it's a common
kind of
sign,
a weird thing to say.
I think we need to get spotlight on that. The fuck is that sign about?
Yeah, we need to make spotlight too. Grandma's house.
What the fuck are these gilfs up to?
That would win Best Picture. All right, Catholic Church, we know what they're doing. What's going on at Grandma's, huh? Oh, you're baking cookies?
More than gingerbread.
What's in those cookies?
You know what I have one. You feeling a little sleepy? About
Grandma, what is this tickle chamber?
We're not done acting this out.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
What's in these cookies, Grandma? You feeling a little sleepy? What's going on? Trying to hot Cosby me?
Grandmas are in hot Cosby's.
I've noticed that when I was a kid, I never got fucking like treats that often, like whatever. But when my fucking kids go to my dad's house, they get so much shit. And it's like 10 p.m. He's like sneaking them juice. Like, Dad, what the fuck?
That
go to bed.
That was my grandma.
Yeah, what the hell?
I got unlimited soda.
I don't know if you've ever sounded older.
I know. I know.
I remember.
When I was a kid, I didn't get
this. I totally understand that. But it's like, I think that grandmas just give, and grandpas just give like shit. They just give you all the candy in the world.
I had unlimited access to soda. I just had unlimited cans of soda when I was over at my grandparents'
house. I never had junk at my house, like just in my family.
Yeah.
We were very conscious about that.
Yeah.
And then I go over grandma's and she'd be like, hey, check it out. I baked all these cookies with Reese's inside them. If you want to make more, let's do it. Okay. Why would I say no to that as a kid?
It was just limited.
My parents were like, oh.
There were rules at home, you know, it was like, you know.
Yeah.
But when it came to like buying me or like, you know, my grandma would get us like toys and stuff too. But that was like, you work for that. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to have Easter at my house. You're going to set up every table and make everything immaculate. And then you get, you know, Megazord. Now I buy my own Megazord.
That's right.
Oh, got like my own money, Grandma.
Like an adult.
Look where I'm at now, Grandma. We don't need you anymore.
I would have said, give me the Megazord because this is the day Jesus came back to life.
Yeah.
Why do I have to set up lights?
Can't we celebrate? I'm almost positive I probably made that joke at some point. Like, can't we just celebrate the resurrection? Right? You know what I mean? Like, I made some joke about that. Mm. But you probably didn't go for that.
Give me the Megazord.
So what is the Splatoon thing on the Switch that you were talking about?
It was only at select times.
Oh.
But it was, I think they called it a global test fire. Did you play that, Rocco?
Yes.
It's like
a demonstration. Sounds like some militant
shit. It's like it's a shinier version of Splatoon on the Switch. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Just played like the original.
Shiny.
So now that your girlfriend got a Switch, are you at all interested in yourself getting one?
Oh yeah, yeah. Once I've got my hands on the hardware, it's like I've been playing Zelda. I'm using a pro controller on the Wii U.
Right.
But like every once in a while I gotta pick up the Wii U tablet to do some of the shrines.
Right, right.
And I'm holding that thing, it feels like a little baby's Leapfrog toy. Like one of those, you know, like toddler computers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Compared to you put the Switch in your hand and it's like, ooh, this is like a Vita.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I definitely want one still when Splatoon comes out.
Right.
Because, like I said, I'm playing Zelda. I'm committed to the Wii U.
Would you get Zelda again? Probably not, because you already have everything on the Switch.
No, because that type of game, too, I think it would be fun to have on the Wii U, but, you know. I wasn't ready to drop the cash. I bought it ahead of their availability, so that's fine. I'll have it beat or somewhere close to that by the time I get Splatoon.
Are they going to have another test fire thing come out for that, or is that kind of the one?
I'm sure they will.
They'll
I'm
probably because sure. It's not till summer.
And it was very brief. This was a very brief thing,
dude. Okay. Trish set her alarm for 4 a.m.
Whoa!
Woke up. Played like in bed just because it's portable or whatever. But then later that day when it was, you know, during the day, plugged it into the dock and played on the TV. And I tried different variations of like using the controllers just as Wiimotes in my hand.
Right.
Like you were telling me Rocco does that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then using the little controller that was, I feel like my hands are a little close together. So I like holding them.
Yeah, I really like that. I just do everything that way. But I've been using the Pro Controller on the Switch more.
We don't have a Pro Controller.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like totally necessary, but I've been digging that.
For Zelda, I would think that's how you want to go through it.
Amateur controller.
Yeah. you're using the amateur controller.
I'm using that amateur.
You're all amateur style. Really better amateur or professional?
Oh, when it comes to all things, I like professional. I just think a little storyline's better.
Can I say?
Yeah.
Other side of the coin, I like amateur.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Don't know what you're gonna get.
I'm a sucker for the older
goodie bag. It's almost like goodie bag.
The older days.
Yeah.
The 90s DVD days.
I'm talking about controllers.
Yeah.
I was talking about Vivid Entertainment. Never mind.
All right. Well, this is a good moment to segue into our sponsors.
No, because I have one more thing I want to say.
About how sexy.
No, it wasn't a good segue.
About how sexy Zelda is.
Back to what you want to say.
Guess not.
I don't want to lose that segue. We're still in the middle of that really good segue.
It's okay. I'll abandon it. It's okay.
Segue hijack.
Yeah.
Segue hijack. Real quick.
Okay.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Should I not be talking about it?
No, Gorilla, go ahead.
Gorilla Games.
Oh, my God.
Stopping you.
Nobody stopped you from doing anything.
Horizon Zero Dawn PS4 game. This past week... I've got a 4K TV,
yeah.
And I wanted to play. I was trying to think of like what's the prettiest thing to play on this. Horizon Zero Dawn seemed to be it. So I finally put that in. I knew I wasn't gonna play that much because I want to conquer Zelda totally before I move on. And so I put this in, and I didn't know how big of a problem that would be. The whole time I'm playing it, I'm like, this is fucking with my head. I need to get back to Zelda. You know what I mean? It's it's asking me to do so many different things.
It's trying to get you involved.
It's a similar level of exploration. It's like, yeah, attack these monsters and collect things from them. Oh, I'm already kind of like doing this. I don't want to, I can't do this right now. So that was, it was a little hard, but what was there was cool, but I realized in playing it, there's different versions of corny. I discovered that I don't mind corny things in games, but I realized there's Japanese corny and there's European corny. And European corny is actually a little harder to get through. Japanese corny in a game, you expect. It's a video game. So yeah, things are kind of Japanese.
Like Yakuza.
Yeah, just, you know, things are a little hokey. Like Resident Evil, things are hokey.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a Japanese game and you, okay, yeah, great. That's totally cool. But this game, it's like, man, the story is really like, yes, you've got to follow me. Come on. Yes, follow, please. Huh, why do you keep playing with that plaything? Yes, it is a plaything, by the way. Yes, I mean, it's just like, what is this fucking story? Like, this is fucking corny. Yeah, the whole thing is just a little, it's like, all right, you can tone this down a little bit. But not that it's bad, but.
Did it look good?
Yeah, it looked amazing. Like, that game comes off the fucking screen. Like, it looks incredible. And I'm curious what they're using that engine. Everything looks just so good. And the fact they're using that engine for Kojima's new game is like amazing news. Yeah. Because in full 4K, like PS4 Pro, it looks almost 3D. Like, it is popping off the screen. It looks so good. So that was almost my best takeaway from it. I was like, I'm ready to just play Death Stranding. But I'll play some more of this later. I just tried it a little bit. It was fun. It seems really cool. I need to dig into it a little bit more.
How real are the main character's dreadlocks? I mean, is her hair just flowing as naturally as mine?
Good. You play as her as a little kid.
Oh, yeah. Like,
kind of flashbacky things. And character this development. Kid, it's a little kid with the biggest fucking head. This kid looks big like a Nendoroid. Like, seriously, like, it's...
There's some Zelda characters got big old heads, too.
They look like one of them PBS kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I don't know what that means.
Anyway. That
Bic shaving logo.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Hey, thank you to our sponsors. Mm-mm. Now it's time.
Hot segue.
See, that was a hot segue. Whose was hotter?
Now it's time.
Email podcast. We weren't done talking about games.
You know, I feel like I'm the only person on this podcast who says stuff sometimes, and Rocco goes, nope. And the conversation just takes a hard
turn. No, I do that sometimes too. He says,
oh, we had one more thing to talk about.
Okay, at least I'm not alone.
You're not alone. Don't worry. Don't,
anyways.
It's a special.
We had one more thing on the games.
Now it's time
list.
For. That's okay. Now it's time.
He wasn't here for the list, but it is time.
Yeah. Okay. I was just bringing it up.
Rocco, let me hear the best. Sponsor plug.
Yeah,
ever.
I want to get a drink out for this
I'm
shit.
I'm going to hear it.
And fucking post up for this fucking show.
What do we sponsor?
If you're watching us on Twitch, I want to say thank you. If you're watching us live on Twitch, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you want to thank us in return, hit that subscribe button on Twitch. If you've got Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription to Twitch Prime every month, which is basically a subscription to a Twitch channel in which you get all kinds of perks. You know, ads get removed. You get all kinds of great emoticons in the chat. You get a beacon next to your name showing how leet you are. Do kids still say leet?
How they spell it the right way.
Kids,
that's a question.
Kids definitely do all those
So
things.
They still say leet, but they don't spell it with numbers. No. Now it's just L-I-T-E.
They just spell it L-E-E-T. Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Well,
they don't even get it.
If you're that... If you are that, then go ahead and subscribe. If you have Amazon Prime, it costs you nothing, and you get all that stuff on our channel. So hit the button on there, and it makes a difference. And we'll be there, and we'll really care. And I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Kickapoo Joy Juice, the most magnificent, most... I was going to say maleficent. That's not good. I shouldn't have said that.
That
was a great movie.
She's sexy, though.
The most tasteificent... brand of soft drink on the planet. Derek's chugging Kickapoo right now. We couldn't show the can because it was too good. It was blinding the sensor in our camera. It looked too good. So we had to put it in that cup. But it tastes good. It tastes delectable and it tastes sweet. Go to drinkkickapoo.com today and get a case for yourself. They have several flavors and they're all delicious. And they're all nutritious. So don't miss out. You can even go on Amazon and get a pack for yourself. Follow at Drink Kickapoo on Twitter and you'll get updates every second of the day into the early morning on where the drink may be found and drunk. I also wanted to mention shop.mega64.com. Tonight, if you're watching on Twitch...
Oh, yeah, this is your last
if
shot.
If you're watching this on Tuesday, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's too late.
You missed the boat.
The door has closed.
Sorry.
The temple door has shut on you and you're trapped inside. But meanwhile, outside, we're all enjoying our new Mega 64 Dimension scarves and our classic Mega 64 original snapback hats. Pre-orders are open. We're keeping them open tonight during the stream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're
when,
up now.
When the right stream now. Is, yeah, we it's been they've been going all week. And tonight at the end of the stream, we'll close the pre-orders. So if you wanted a scarf or the snapback ASAP, be sure to pre-order tonight, right now. Shop.mega64.com. There's also a ton of other items that are great. You can look good, feel good supporting our show, mm-hmm. and taste good to those who look at you with their eye taste buds on their you know, corneas. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
So come and get it.
How was that?
It was okay.
Okay.
I've done better. I am known as He's the king of plugs.
He's got me there.
Because I can speak so well.
He worked his stumbles but, through yeah, all yeah. the way. You seem to get a little more tripped up by yours.
You think I get tripped up?
Yeah, a little. No, you tend like to me. Like get tripped up and want to restart where he just goes through and that, gets the job done.
Is that he chugs along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Little engine.
I'll work on that. Sometimes I practice plugs in the mirror, just so I can get good at it.
Really?
Yeah.
You give that much of a shit?
I give so much of a shit.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah. You would think I'd be better at them with all that practice.
I was gonna say, how much are you practicing? Because we've seen how you do this.
Well, when I'm here and the lights are on me and I see the comments, I get a little flustered.
Oh it's yeah, yeah.
But comments. At home, I fucking kill it. I'm good.
Good.
I should just film those and then send them over for the podcast. But.
Hey, Derek, do you do anything similar? You practice close to the mirror there?
I rehearse everything I say on the podcast wow. meticulously.
Wow. Stick to the script.
Yet I hardly get a chance to present it.
Mm. Why is that?
Because I'm brown.
Oh, my God. Oh, whoa.
It's hard to get a word in edgewise.
Whoa.
I'm playing it.
You know what? Haven't said anything to that effect in a while. It's good. Good timing.
Good.
You see any movies lately or this past week?
He's asking me now. It's kind of interesting.
I saw a film.
What'd you see?
Yeah?
I saw 1951 black and white sci-fi classic. Klaatu Barada Nikto.
Oh, fuck.
Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that good?
It's okay.
Okay. Okay.
It's a robot. He gets out.
I like the Keanu Reeves version.
2008.
Yeah.
Day the Earth Stood Still, mm-hmm. starring Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
A little more up
there. The effects were a lot better.
I never saw that one.
Mm.
I didn't see that one.
Mm.
Was it good?
No, it really wasn't. It wasn't good.
Oh.
It wasn't good. I didn't like it. Oh, are we done with that? Do you have any more to say?
Nope.
Okay. We talked about it before, but I saw
What happened? What happened?
I don't know. I saw Tickled. Derek said he saw it a couple weeks ago, recommended it, so I watched it.
What is this movie?
It's a documentary about a guy found competitive tickling as like a sport.
Oh, that's right.
And wanted to make a documentary about it, and then it goes completely off the rails, and it's about this fucking crazy corporation, this woman tracking him down, trying to sue him and like ruin his life, and
what?
Like it. Yeah, it becomes like
what?
It is all of a sudden, it's about tickling, and all of a sudden it turns into like. Him trying to like save his career and like Whoa. Not get fucked over by this person who is in charge of the tickling. It's fucking crazy. It's really weird. So it's on HBO, so I recommend it highly. It's fucking weird. It's so weird. So anyways, check that out if you have HBO.
Is that where you saw the extended Hobbit or did you just randomly?
No, my girlfriend bought some Blu-ray box set for cheap that was all extended cuts, and that's weirdly enough, yeah, I never thought I would sit down and watch those again, but I watched the entire Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Not Lord of the Rings, but...
Man, you keep doing that.
The entire, I know, right? The entire Hobbit extended cut over this weekend.
Was it the first one?
First, second, third.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
She got a Blu-ray box set, and yeah. was just like, all right, let's marathon.
You know what?
Marathon.
I never saw the third one. I never finished it.
It's good. They're all good.
Now,
they're like,
I had fun with all of them, but 2 and 3 were stalling for time.
Yeah, 3 is a lot of like war at the end. There's like a big ass battle. There's a, yeah, just one
that
huge
movie
battle.
Is just the battle.
Which makes me wonder how there could be extended cut of that movie.
I know. It doesn't feel like
there's
like,
more in the battle.
As I'm watching it though, yeah, there's some cool gimmicks where it's like I remember this not being in the theater version, so this is probably extra.
Yeah.
You know, some stuff I could kind of pick out, but not much. Whereas like some stuff I saw in the Lord of the Rings extended cuts, I was like, damn, why'd they cut that out? That was awesome. Yeah.
The part where the skulls falling and stuff was
and the
cool.
mouth of Sauron, that whole character.
Yeah, that was cool.
There was not much like that in the Hobbit movies.
I think there's a little more extended stuff with that skin changer dude, Bjorn
or something, whatever. Yeah.
The grizzly bear man.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it all that trilogy has its moments. The first movie's, I think maybe... I think the second one might be my favorite.
The second Hobbit?
I thought the first one was best at being like...
It had all the music, so it was...
First one was on its... It was like its own movie.
Yeah.
I feel like 2 and 3 were just kind of like pieces.
I
kind of...
I liked the first one because I was like, I can't remember going back here. I see Frodo in the beginning. Yeah. It's just so cool that we're like back in this world. excuse me.
Oh.
I'm going to die.
He's getting choked up. He just thought about feeling and killing.
Whoa, yeah.
He thought about...
But they only needed to do... One movie, I think. Like, I didn't need two.
That could have been a great one
movie. Take me back there. I'm okay. But take me back to one time, and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, it could have been a perfect one movie, and instead it's like, okay, 3 movies, I think. It's also funny, too, because the third one, the way it ends, it's funny because Return of the King in the Lord of the Rings movies, I remember they always gave it shit for, like, having so many endings or like taking so long to get to the ending or whatever. But I thought that was really like emotional. Like I appreciated, like, yeah, I could see where people are coming from, but I appreciated that level of like emotion to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it's just funny watching the third Hobbit. I feel like they took all the criticism to heart. And I felt like the way the third Hobbit ends is almost very like, oh, people hated what we did before, so we gotta like wrap this up now. And instead it's like, all right, it's all over. Yeah, I'm going home. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna write this down in a book, thanks.
I feel like
we could have maybe like, this is the last time foreseeably we may see this world. I thought maybe they would kind of like give it a more emotional climax, but I don't know, it was weird.
One more little scene that hints at future events to come.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of that stuff.
It was just odd, it was a little weird.
There's some cool, I mean, there's definitely, I like that those movies exist, because there's some cool fight scenes and, like, battles that are just with, like, a lot of key figures from Lord of the Rings, like Lady Galadriel and one of the other elven generals or kings or whatever, and then Saruman. They all go to save Gandalf at the his prison, whatever, that tower. I forget the names and everything. But they like come upon Sauron as he's like not fully formed yet there, and they have a badass fight where it's like all of the fucking key figures from the Lord of the Rings trilogy are all on the good guy's side, like fighting him. It was kind of a cool thing. Shit like that was if you're a fan of those Lord of the Rings movies, those extended Hobbit movies deliver on all kinds of stuff.
My favorite part of any of the extended Hobbits was that there's like a serious scene with what's his name, the Paul Oakenfold's dad, what's his name, or Thorin Oakenshield's dad, when he finds him like all corrupted.
Oh yeah, 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 he's like crazy.
And then when he gets like sucked into like Sauron's eye or whatever, they use the Wilhelm scream.
They do.
That was a great movie.
They do. And
really
I know.
Serious scene. And then. But, it's like,
so I got to that this afternoon and was like totally just taken out. Like,
yeah, we need to like
there
just scrub that.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Yeah.
Or hide it better.
Nah.
Layer that shit. Put an echo on it.
They should have put 10 other screens on top of it just to make sure you didn't hear it. More just debris flying by or something. Yeah. Anyway.
It's supposed to be a good luck charm. So
is that what that is? Is that what they do?
Is that really a thing?
I've never heard that.
You've never heard that?
No. That's why I keep hearing that thing in movies, and I have no idea why they keep using it.
You got to understand though.
Now
it,
you know.
It probably only takes us out of the movie, and we're a fraction of the population that's meant to enjoy it, just because we make
that,
stuff
like,
too.
The average person knows what that's.
Fuck, my mom has no idea.
The average person does. recognize it.
They recognize it. They don't know what it is, though.
They don't know that it has a name, but it's supposed to be, at least that's what I've always heard.
I never knew that. At least there's a film.
Yeah, at least there's some explanation.
And yeah, that makes sense why they would use that.
Oh. Just a stare. Yeah, I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. Well, the day has come. And Rocco did see Power Rangers.
Oh!
Yeah, I saw the Power Rangers movie.
You don't have your Morpher on?
No, believe it or not.
This would be the best time.
I thought for once I'd spare you.
Segment. All right.
Just for once, for a second. No, yeah, the new Power Rangers movie, I think the general consensus among most people that I saw, and I think everyone can agree on this, that it was not as bad as anyone
expected.
Because I was ready for, like, Transformers bullshit.
Me too. Like, I was ready for, I went in with like Dragon Ball Evolution expectations.
That's
like,
really
this
bad.
Is going to be awful. So let's just do this. And I think everyone pretty much agrees it was not as bad as it. Where I think they honestly went right is they really take time to develop all these people in it. Like the teens in any form of Power Rangers are very like thrown into the suits. But this was like different. They made you care. Like, they spent time with them. It suffers from a thing that kind of all movies suffer from right now, which is everyone's just kind of an asshole. But that's not unique to this movie. That's just...
Wait, even the teenagers are assholes?
Yeah, they're all... Zordon and Alpha are assholes in this. It's just,
oh, good!
Yeah, it's just like...
What are you, like, snarky?
Why is Alpha's an asshole?
Yeah, it's just like...
Zordon is an asshole?
Oh, Zordon is a dick in this movie.
What the fuck?
It's Rangers. Just this lack of... It's this fear of vulnerable characters. Like, I was telling the other guys the other day, it's like, I always use the example of the original Jurassic Park. That movie's great because it's normal ass people.
Yeah.
It's a doctor and, I'm a botanist. Yeah, oh, I like bones. I like dinosaur
some
bones.
Kids.
Here's some kids. Got a math nerd. You know, and yeah. So you kind of identify with that. You might not be on their level like exactly, but you identify with them. Sure. And then you look at Jurassic World and it's fucking Marines. Fucking shoot these fucking dinosaurs. Right. You know, it's just, and this kind of suffers from that too. It, you know, everyone is just a smarmy dick, and it's just, you know, it's just all movies. It's not just this one. But I will say this movie was kind of these teens' story on how they kind of get out of that. So it's, you know, it's actually good. But,
They're in Angel Grove.
Yeah.
And it sticks to the source material pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Okay. I mean, the opening 5 minutes of the movie has some Power Rangers lore that we never got to see in the original show, and I was losing my shit.
Oh, wow.
In the first 2 seconds, they fucking name drop the Zeo Crystal, and I was like, what? Well, I mean, I was just like, I was that Iron Man fucker. I was like, that was me.
So they they're sticking to... like canon universe stuff
though. It was cool so that for like 5 minutes it was really cool so I'm watching the movie and I'm like damn I'm actually like enjoying this. These are like good, you know, these, you know, good characters, all this stuff. And I'm looking and it's like after a while it's like I feel the air leaving the room a little bit. And by like the 10th confessional moment, like there's like the 20th scene that they're talking about their feelings to each other, I'm starting to like look, I'm like, we're like 90 minute mark. These guys have not morphed. Like, what is?
Oh, really?
That.
What are we doing?
Is crazy to me.
That the entire movie is. Yeah, you're not ready. You're not ready to morph. You're not ready. Yeah, you thought you were ready.
Oh, and Zordon's a dick about it.
You just try to morph. No, you're not. No, you're not. And it's just, you know, you hit this point where it's like, are Power Rangers in this? Are they? They're a cameo in their own movie. And you get the Power Rangers at the end, and there's a great energy to it, and then it's like, oh, it's over. All right, okay. You know, it's like they're a cameo in their own movie. You got to mix that way better. I'd feel the same way if the Power Rangers were fighting the whole movie and there was no character development.
Right? Yeah.
You know, you got to mix both. And so, yeah, when it ended, I was kind of like, I felt like I was served something I didn't sign up for a little bit.
Yeah.
So... I enjoyed as I was watching it, but when it wrapped up, I was like,
"Now
what happened here?
Was Bulk and Skull in it?
No.
Oh.
And like, there's a bully in the show. There's a bully in this movie.
Oh, and
it's not Bulk or Skull.
That's
dumb.
You know, there were lots of little things like that where it's like, oh, you got all these other things, but not.
Did they use the original?
When they finally, you know, there's a great climactic moment.
Yeah.
And they play the 95 movie version of the theme.
Oh.
Naughty, and I give them credit for this. Wasn't like a remix or fucking Fall Out Boy doing it. It was the old recording.
Gotcha.
And it was great. And it's like, I feel like we need like 10 more of these moments in it. Yeah. There is also the grossest product placement in any movie I've ever seen, where they do it like 3 times and it's kind of funny, and then they do it 20 more times and it's fucking disgusting. Don't accept that. There's people laughing about that shit, and I just feel like you're gonna lose your fucking rights on that. Like, if you keep laughing at shitty product placement like that, they're gonna keep doing it.
Right. What product? You don't even want to say
Krispy Kreme
it.
Krispy Kreme donuts. Oh. Krispy Kreme donuts is mentioned 2 times as a gag, and it feels like a Power Rangers gag. All
right.
A couple times, and then they do it 10 more times. There's a climactic scene, and it's still being brought up, and it's like, okay, guys, like this is not okay anymore.
Shit.
So yeah, because of what I said, I don't think I would totally recommend it, but it wasn't as bad as people thought.
Well,
so,
it made $40 million.
Wow.
The budget was $100 million. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're doing a sequel, right?
I don't think that's bad.
Hi, Alex. Beating the Beast.
Welcome to the show, man.
Why was there Krispy Kreme's
in Emily? I don't know if anybody else noticed you slipping in here.
Sorry.
We're talking Power Rangers right now.
Oh.
Just to catch you up.
Did you see it?
No. I probably will not.
Oh, why not? Yeah, me neither.
Because, you know.
Are you going to talk some shit now? Just before you talk any shit, we just spent like a while reviewing it seriously, okay? So don't come in here.
No. Can I tell you guys a little secret, a little shop secret?
Yeah, sure, okay. Sure.
So the first incarnation of what we're going to do for the live action Aquabats Super Show
was
extremely similar to the Power Rangers, to the point where, remember the old TV show?
Yeah.
And there was like the fat bully and the skinny bully.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
Vulcan Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be Gorny and me.
Oh, that was sick.
Wow.
See, that
would
have been good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Where are you going to be Bulker Skull?
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, Eric. Wow, I think Eric, you know. I was gonna be the fat one, and we had written a bunch of episodes and ideas and stuff for it.
Oh, that'd
be not
sick.
Full episodes, but.
And then
so Saban, I'm a big fan.
To sue you?
No. I'm a big fan of the Power Rangers. I love watching the Power Rangers. The Pink Ranger like was a moment for me.
Mm, yeah,
she was something.
Amy Jo
Johnson. Amy Jo Johnson. Yeah,
she was like a thing.
Yeah,
she was.
But wasn't it funny that the Yellow Ranger was Asian 13. And the Black Ranger?
That was a weird choice.
Yeah. On that show? The Yellow Ranger was yellow. No. Sorry, Asian.
The Black
Ranger was black.
No, that's just the Power Rangers.
Anyway.
They didn't do that in the movie. They switched things around.
So there was, oh, yeah.
In this new movie?
Yep.
But was it good?
I didn't see it. I'm a grown up.
It was enjoyable. To a point that you start, their Power Rangers aren't, they're not in their own fucking movie. They don't show up until the end.
So it was like the new Godzilla.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I honestly didn't see, I think, that whole movie. I think I saw some of it.
Yeah.
That American
and,
one.
Yeah, I think I missed like the beginning of it or something like that. And got that vibe. And I've heard a lot of other people say the same
thing. It's true. The new Godzilla were the last one. They were really hoping Bryan Cranston could pull an audience because that monster didn't show up.
Same with this movie.
Yeah.
Wait, Bryan Cranston's in this movie?
He's Zordon.
He's Zordon.
What? Yep. Did you guys see All the Way where he was LBJ, the HBO movie?
No, I never did.
Amazing.
Was he really?
He's amazing at it.
Yeah.
Sorry to get off topic.
No, it's okay.
I thought you were talking crap about the Power Rangers. I dig the Power Rangers.
We're in the movie segment.
In a role. It's not worth watching.
It's not worth
watching. Well, you haven't seen this movie, so.
Zordon making meth? Because then I'll watch
He's made
it.
A crystal. He's got
my
crystals.
Good funny work, my good funny? Jesus.
It's okay.
My good buddy works at Saban.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So he has like, he went to a private screening for this whole show and for the whole movie. And he was like, if it does great, then good. If it doesn't, then I think I'm fired.
Why is he fired?
He wrote it.
$40 million. Directed it and started it.
Yeah.
Now, were the suits a problem for you?
They were ugly before and they're ugly now.
Okay.
Are you talking about like the accountants?
Nothing was better. Nothing was better in the body of the movie except Alpha was when they showed the artwork of
That's
Alpha.
That's Bill Hader, right?
Was like super ugly in everything they showed before, and in the movie it was okay. Bill Hader did a good job.
Okay.
But
well, I don't think
just his voice, right?
No, he was in the suit.
Was there action?
Whoa. like at the end, like honestly, like the whole movie, they just keep being told, "You're not ready. You're not ready to morph. did you just try to morph? You're not ready to morph. You gotta get ready to morph."
It's like any sense. Teenager, yeah. And it doesn't happen until the end.
There's all these moments. They get powers outside of their suits in this, mm-hmm. which never happened in the show. But they get powers like, yeah, look how far you can jump. Look how strong you are. And it just
give them those powers in the suit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Why would they do that?
That's what I'm watching this, and I'm like, you had so many opportunities to kind of like morph and do a fun thing here, and instead they're in a pit. Like,
yeah, what's the?
You got to train in this pit. And they go back to that pit like five times.
Well, what's the point of them morphing into the suits if they already have the powers outside of the suits?
Right. So that was my other question. Okay. And then also there's a part where someone drives a Zord and they haven't morphed yet. They're just check out the Zord.
Yeah, so the suits are pointless.
And
the
order
of operations in this movie is all fucked up.
Because I was going to say, save the Zords for last.
Something I kept reading online was like, oh, I like that they didn't morph to the end because they like earned it. But it didn't feel earned when it was kind of shit they were already doing. It's like, let's just get into the fucking costumes and do some cool choreography. Morph into the costumes so that instead of you fighting, it can be your Japanese stunt double who will be way better. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, let's get some Super Sentai moves in there, you know? Whatever.
No, we got to show these new fresh faces off more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
so anyway.
The best part about the Power Rangers was when they were the Power Rangers.
That's how I feel.
That does make sense.
The title.
And you know, there's movies like just throwing out an example, but like Batman Begins spends a lot of time on Bruce Wayne. Like, where did Bruce Wayne come from? Sure. And what was this whole thing? And then you see him become Batman and like kind of fuck that up. But what happens after that? You get so much Batman, your head explodes. You know what I mean? True. It's like, we spent a lot of time on the other stuff, but. You can still
Here's what you earned.
Well, yeah. And no insult to the Power Rangers, but when you had Batman Begins, you had like one of the greatest actors working and one of the greatest directors.
That's true.
Details.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Brian Cranston is Zordon.
what else do you need to know?
Okay.
Bill Hader is Alpha.
I'm sorry. Bill Hader, man. That's clearly he has to be like, I just really like Power Rangers growing up. I'm going to be a part of the movie.
I think he really likes Paycheck.
He does everything, yeah.
I don't know.
The script was so good. You have to see this film.
I mean, you obviously haven't read it, so
your friend
needs to hook you up.
I know, I should get the
script.
Get that script.
Did Frank Darabont write it?
Yeah. I don't know. What's Frank Darabont doing right now?
Power
he's
understand.
Not doing Walking Dead anymore, obviously.
I think he's buying a rope. And a tall ladder.
He's reenacting the ending of the Mist.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
Rooks with beer.
Do you guys watch The Walking Dead?
Garrett,
I
does.
Do. Yeah,
I don't.
No.
Not only do I not watch it, I also hate it. Which how does that?
Don't
even
be so
work?
Modest. You
how
like
do,
it.
How do you? How can I hate something I've never seen? I don't know.
You're a hater.
You're alive in America right now. That's how. That's possible.
I suppose.
That's
so.
All anybody does.
Fair enough.
Well, so having not watched it, I watched the first episode and was like not interested.
Is that all you've seen of it?
I've seen the very first episode. I just felt like, hey, you know what? I get it. Zombies aim for the head.
I mean,
and
I've seen less, so I mean, I'm just curious.
And all I'm going to say is everybody on Facebook, my friends who watch The Walking Dead, are constantly expressing how disappointed they are with the show.
Yep.
They're constantly like, I don't know why I fucking watch this show anymore. Yeah. Fuck this show. Yeah. And it's
really?
Like every season there's that same outburst.
But see, this is...
And so I don't feel like bad for not watching
it. But here's the thing is like you guys all did that with the show Lost, but yet you still remember it fondly.
I fucking love Lost.
That's not true. I have been on episodes of this podcast.
Where I
don't know what the fuck
Lost.
They're doing with Lost. I don't know what's going on right now.
They're
gonna figure it out. And I'm not making fun of you.
I mean, there are a couple. There are a handful.
Well, let's just say after
Lost,
I couldn't go through that again. Emotional roller coaster.
Seriously, that's exactly how I feel about TV. After Lost, that was the last time I had the patience for a TV show.
It really was the last show I followed.
Really, Nashville.
I've followed shows since, but not on that level. Not on that level. Absolutely not.
Lost was like a phenomenon. I think Lost was a phenomenon because it was like, not because, but it was like the last show that I think people. It was like appointment TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you could just intake it whenever you wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not
sure.
Everyone had DVRs yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even like, there's been shows I've liked since. I liked Boardwalk Empire. But it's like, okay, there's three ones I haven't watched yet on my thing.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Same thing with Game of Thrones. You'll watch a whole season.
That's true.
Actually, that's a show I follow now. I follow Game of Thrones.
No, Game of Thrones.
I do like Game of Thrones. But who doesn't? But
that's what I don't.
I don't either.
You don't?
You don't like Game of Thrones?
No.
Rocco. It's a fun show.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
I tried. I got like halfway through like season two or three.
Dang.
There are moments on Game of Thrones where you have really great acting. There are moments where you have really great action.
Yeah.
And then there are moments where you get a lot of hot naked people, boys yeah. and girls.
That's nudity. True. That's true.
And they're doing things.
Oh.
Did you know that, Eric?
What's the hand motion?
That's scissoring.
Oh, that's scissoring. Oh, what's this then?
And
that's
why do you ask about The Walking Dead?
Because you said Walking Dead, and I tried to watch it. I've never watched it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my wife and I were like we just finished some show, ended Downton Abbey or something like that. Some show okay. like
serious show
a year ago just ended. Yeah. And they were like, and Walking Dead like just came to Netflix or whatever it is, wherever you can watch it all the time now.
It's like a spiritual successor.
We should
Downton Abbey. Yeah.
We should watch The Walking Dead. Because everyone tells us we should watch The Walking Dead. And so we watched the first three episodes, and that was almost a year ago. We haven't watched
it. Yeah. It didn't hook you.
I don't care about zombies, but everybody's like, it's not about zombies. And I'm like, the first two episodes are pretty much zombies.
Yeah, it's not anymore. Yeah. It comes and goes. It's like a soap opera set in a zombie apocalypse. Like, it's all character development now, especially.
Yeah, that sounds like not my thing.
Well, I'm sure, but it's like, I don't know. It's really how long was it going to take to get there? Like, Friday Night Lights was so good because people are like, it's not about football. And it really wasn't. Like, the first episode was kind of about football. Yeah. And then every other episode, you'd have like 30 seconds of a football game.
It was always funny with Lost because Lost blew past it being about surviving on an island. Yeah. And it was always funny when people hadn't seen it in years. And it's like, so how are they? I mean, how are they doing with food? And it's like, oh man, we're not even, we're trying to figure out what time period we're in.
Yeah.
That is, the food has been left behind. You know, anyway,
no one cares about that.
No, Lost was, I never watched Lost too. I watched two episodes of Lost.
Oh.
And then now that it's streaming everywhere, I feel like I should watch it.
Yeah,
what Lost is great. Your show? What show have you watched?
What is your favorite show?
Nashville, like, Heart of Dixie.
You're not serious.
The Bachelor,
Miami,
Survivor
Season 7.
What season?
Stop.
Ink Master.
Season 2 only.
Oh, gotcha.
No, my favorite show of all time.
Yeah,
sure.
Sopranos.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm about to finish. I'm about to finish.
That's my number two.
Oh, dude, it's so here's good. The thing about The Sopranos, though. If you watch The Sopranos, it's because people do watch it now. They're like, dude, there's a lot of filler. And there is. And here is why there's a lot of filler episodes, especially in the middle, is because The Sopranos existed in a time period before HBO knew what they were really doing with television shows. Before you were like, oh, we can just do 10 episodes in a and call it a season.
Yeah, they had to do a bunch.
Like back then, it was like, we're doing 20 episodes a season. And so, yeah, there's some filler episodes in The Sopranos. But their filler is better than like
most television. Well, I was going to say, I think every episode is great.
I've rewatched the whole series three times.
That show is great.
If I watch it again, I'll just start again. Like, I'll just keep going.
When I watched it, I craved Italian food the entire time.
Yeah,
I gained like 10 pounds during
I've been buying. Costco sells these trays of antipasto that's just the meats. And I buy them.
I'm telling you.
There's a Sopranos cookbook that's really good.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, it's like Carmella's Baked Ziti.
Oh,
like
shit.
It's pretty good.
I've given up on good TV. And I've started watching one-star reviewed movies and TV shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, like, last week I watched Monsters and Mazes, which is Tom Hanks' first movie, which is about how Dungeons and Dragons is satanic and will cause you to want to commit suicide.
No, that's true.
Tom Hanks, plays Pardew, the holy man. And he gets so fucking spun out on D&D that he goes on this hallucinatory D&D-driven like crusade through New York City, 1981, and he gets in like knife fights. Great movie. This week I was watching Brody Tattoo, which is like a Miami Ink knockoff.
Oh no!
From Australia.
Oh no!
Bottom of the barrel, garbage TV. And so I don't really watch Miami Ink. I haven't really followed those shows.
No.
But the way this show works is somebody will come on to get a tattoo.
Those are god awful.
And I guess they all, like, to get on the show, you need a fucked up sob story. So, like, when you're getting your tattoo, you talk
what it means to you.
You know, like, I like this tattoo because I've overcome a lot of stuff.
My girlfriend died.
And the tattoo artist is always like, oh, so what happened? Why are you getting this tattoo? And in episode one, which I highly recommend everybody out there watch, one of the cringiest pieces of video I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Some guy is getting a Superman tattoo, and it's Superman flying amongst a bunch of butterflies.
Okay.
So it's like Superman flying like this with butterflies all around him. And the guy goes on to explain. He goes on to explain about how he had a one-year-old son who was born with some terminal disease and had to be put on life support.
Oh, fuck.
And long story short, died. And the guy like had to take him off life support. And for, you know, five-minute segment, it's just this guy. I think he got a free tattoo out of this. Just really big, giving the saddest, mopiest story. Just so yeah, the dude was in the hospital and, and we had to make the decision about whether we're going to take him off life support or not.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hell of a first episode.
And the tattoo artist looks like you right now. And I swear to God, at one point, the tattoo artist just stops tattooing and looks into the camera like, what the fuck do I say?
Hey, that show doesn't
just looks at the camera and then just goes, that's a sad story, mate. And then goes back to tattooing. So I recommend if you want some really good cringe television, check out
that sounds good.
Brody Tattoo.
Brody.
Now, that's my favorite when you see shows or like documentaries or something and you're like they're interviewing like people who've gone through a lot of stuff or their families died or like, you know, they're like a child soldier. And then like the response from the documentarian is always like, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. They, you're like, no, it's not right now.
You don't know what to say.
Historically, it's not going to be
But then on the other hand, it was a sad story, but then I'm like, yeah, but here you are getting like a tattoo and just like broadcasting it to
on
the
camera.
World.
Yeah.
I feel okay.
Best tattoo story I've ever heard was my dad. He has a tattoo of an L on his arm.
Uh-huh.
And I said, why did you get that? And he said, one day I was in the Navy and we got real drunk and we said we'd get tattoos. And they started and I told him to stop.
What was it going to be?
And I'm like, that's the best thing ever. You can't remember. He's like,
it's just an L shape.
Just an L shape. It could have been a square. It could have been an L. It could have been anything. But it's the greatest story.
I probably said this on the podcast already. The greatest tattoo story I ever heard was Kevin Smith's tattoo story where he was stuck in Las Vegas for some reason. He couldn't travel home for some reason. I don't know what it was. And he was at near a tattoo parlor and was like, you know what? I'm looking at getting a tattoo finally or whatever. Maybe he already had one before, but he's gonna get one. And then he went, "Oh, there—that's the one." And he showed Scott Mosier, his producer, like, "Check it out! It's the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, like the animated Alice in Wonderland." He's like, "Cause that's me. Like, I'm never on time, but like, you know, I'll always try." You know. And then Scott went, "I think that's the rabbit." I just ended that conversation. That's great. One of my favorite stories ever.
Poor Kevin.
Do you guys have any tattoos?
No.
Yeah. No.
Garrett doesn't either.
Yeah.
Well, I know you do, Garrett.
Yeah.
Derek, yeah.
I got a tattoo.
Derek does.
Fuck yeah.
What is your tattoo, Derek?
It is so dope.
It's pretty dope.
I wish you just lifted up your shirt and it literally just says so dope. He was dope. You don't have to show me.
We've showed it before.
I wasn't going to show you. I was just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's so funny because like tattoo, there's such like a tattoo culture I discover now that I'm older. You know, like I've heard if you go into a tattoo shop and like, hey, I want like a tattoo on my neck or something. Some artists will be like, fuck you. Like they won't do it.
Yeah.
Because you have to like earn it and stuff. Which just makes me laugh about my tattoo because it's garbage. And I got it from some guy who's like, hey, I have a gun. You want a tattoo? Like, yeah, come on over to my apartment and give it to me.
Was it full-on apartment? Like living room or kitchen setup?
Master bedroom of my first apartment.
Dope. Oh,
Jesus.
That's awesome. That's so
plugged
awesome.
Into the computer surge protector.
Oh, they call you know there's a
every
name.
Every detail makes the tattoo better.
You know, tattoo artists have a name for that type of guy.
Yeah. What?
Who?
A scratcher.
Oh, I got a scratch tattoo. It's supposed to be like a Star Wars tattoo, but it's all fucked up.
What did he say to you when he was done?
He's like, I think that's as good as we're going to get.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. That was amazing.
I know that's not what you want to hear when you get your first tattoo.
Holy crap.
But it's almost like a work of art. It's so bad, it actually becomes a great tattoo.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how some tattoos become famous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tupac's Thug Life.
Yeah, I think.
My tattoo, if I become famous enough, my shitty tattoo will become famous.
I can't agree more. I think it's one of the best tattoos of all time.
Like, I can see
I'm not joking.
If I became more famous, I can see other people getting my shitty tattoo. Shitty.
Because it could be, that's the thing, it could be so easily touched up.
Yeah.
And replaced with.
I could put a great tattoo there.
Well, even the thing it was originally supposed to be could be identically placed over it.
It would work
as a cover up, but right here, I don't think you should.
On my chest.
You don't have to show it here, but can I mention a video that they can see it if people at home want to see it?
There's any video where my shirt is off, you can see it.
Version 2 fake trailer.
Yeah.
If you look up that, you'll see the tattoo. Your of course, that's not high res, so who knows how clear it is, but amazing.
It's supposed to be the Rebel Alliance insignia. Mm. It looks like somebody made the Rebel Alliance insignia out of sand and then sucked the tip of it with a vacuum. Like, it all just kind of comes together in a mushy, squiggly point.
Would you consider getting another tattoo?
Actually, never in my life until 2 days ago.
Really? Oh, wow.
What happened?
I've always felt like this tattoo sucks. And I don't need another tattoo that I regret,
right?
That I fucking hate. I had to learn to love this tattoo. Yeah. There was a long time where I was like, why the fuck did I do this? Like, I would, be really sad when I thought about it. But just recently, I had an idea for a tattoo where I thought I could wear that proudly for the rest of my life. Bart Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
I would get a Bart Simpson tattoo because I realized I was talking to somebody about The Simpsons. And I was like, I've never experienced this with another TV show. But when I was a kid, I identified with Bart Simpson. Sure. I loved that show and I thought, Bart Simpson is the main character of the show. I love him. He's my favorite character. I'm like Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, completely changed. And it was like, holy shit, Bart is not the main character of that show. It's Homer.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I'm Homer. Hey, and I relate to Homer.
I feel the same thing about the Wonder Years. Like, I am all on the side of the dad now. Before, it was all Kevin Arnold.
Dude, Dan Loria.
Yeah, and now it's all like, dude, I never watched this guy.
I never watched The Wonder Years. So, The Simpsons is the only show where I definitely felt my relationship with the characters shift as I got older. And it just made me think about, wow, I got older. My life changed. And this show was there the whole time. Yeah. And then I realized, I really love The Simpsons. I could get a Bart Simpson tattoo.
Mm-hmm. I think that would
have carried
you
the torch
sure.
of The Simpsons as long as I've ever known you.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And now you realize it's still on and you're like, all right.
I don't even care.
Still iconic.
Honestly, I watched The Simpsons every single day religiously until 10th grade of high school when I was 15 years old. And suddenly I was like, I do not want to watch this show anymore. And I never really watched it again after that, but I still love it.
Yeah.
And it's 25 years of that show. Wow. It's been on. First 10, I still love
season
and adore.
5 of The Simpsons is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Not that it's even on the same level, in any way of whether it's writing or how iconic or whatever, but that's my thing with Power Rangers. I love that as a, there's a window of that show that it was incredibly important to me in my life. It's still on. I ain't watching it. You know what I mean? But I still have that window of time. It really taught me, they're editing this Japanese show into an American show. And I remember, making note of every time they jumped to what footage. And I really think that made me a video editor. I honestly think you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that seeped in.
That makes
sense. That window of time will always be important to me. And just like The Simpsons, you might not be watching it right now, but... Yeah. Doesn't make that any less.
I read this really interesting article a few years ago about how The Simpsons it's actually 10 different shows because the animation and writing style has changed so much that you could look at it through these different eras and where, the first two seasons of that show, it's even squiggly hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
And they say that's its own era of The Simpsons. And then they kind of figure out, they get really... funny, they have Conan O'Brien writing and they kind of figure out their hand-drawn animation. It's the classic era of The Simpsons. And then they move into computer animation and their writing style kind of changes. And they talk about how it's influenced by shows like Family Guy and South Park. And it gets a little bit more
they had to compete.
It's when I read that article, I no longer thought of The Simpsons in terms of it was good and now it sucks, but it's just, it's evolved.
Yeah, it's different than what you needed from it.
It's that one show is a buffet of comedy. There's so many different things to take from it, depending on what episode you watch.
Sure. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
It's a great show, but now it sucks.
Take that.
Take that.
We're just about to wrap this show up. I want to say real quick, I don't want to leave this too far behind, but there's something you said earlier when you brought up Game of Thrones and you said you got boys and girls doing all kinds of things and you made like some hand gestures.
Scissoring.
So on that subject.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I want to say, I saw the funniest comment section on an article. It was cracking me up. I saw a review of the Power Rangers movie and they said, great moments in this movie, powerful moments. I'm not going to spoil any, but all I'm going to say is scissors. And the comment section were like parents like, oh my God, I was going to take my kids to this and now I can't. And the woman goes, no, Kimberly like has a moment where she cuts her hair off and like she's free. And the all the commenters are like, oh, because I heard the Yellow Ranger's gay. And I, okay. Because there's kind of a moment in the movie where they allude to maybe that for a second. It's not really like a big thing, but they kind of briefly bring it up. And that whole comment section took it the wrong way, and I was laughing really
hard. What a way to take it.
You have to be a fucking psychopath out there if you think...
That would be it.
What? Scissoring is in the
Power Rangers as a scene where two girls, press their vaginas together and just start humping? For what purpose would that?
All right, we finally morphed.
It's fucking hot.
And you distrust American culture so much, you think a Hollywood movie would have that in it. Like, I don't know. Movies these days are fucking crazy. I can't trust them.
America's gone to hell.
Yeah, that's amazing. What's funny though about that is the reason why they thought that is because they were thinking about scissoring.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So it's like, that's the best part about
that. That was in your head, exactly.
Yeah, you were thinking about scissoring.
It's just like what we were talking about. We just talked about it like the other day. There was a real issue with the movie, with the movie Bruno, because there's a scene where he talks to a, what's the word for it when they talk to spirits?
Medium.
Medium. And he says, like, someone, a deceased lover is trying to talk to you. And Bruno goes, oh, are they here right now? Yeah. And he pantomimes, like, taking a dick out and sucking it and all that stuff. And the ratings board was like, you got to cut that. You cannot have that in there. And he's like, why? Because you know what you're doing. I mean, look at that. But and he's like, that's in your head. You're seeing all that. Like, nothing is there in the scene. Like, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know? And so they were like, huh?
And he that's like the Louis C.K. bit where he's like, I hate it when reporters and people, they always say he used the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, because now you're making me fill out the rest of the word.
He's holding you hostage.
It's great, man.
But anyway.
Well, I just wanted to say, before you guys close out here, I wanted to come on because two reasons. One, you should go buy my album.
Is it on?
It's on iTunes and Amazon.
I have to do it again.
Yeah, he already bought it.
Please.
Oh, wait. He's buy we've it got again. A guy here who listened to your album.
Oh, did you listen to it, Eric?
Can we get a review?
What'd you think, Eric?
I thought it was really funny. I thought you did great.
Good job. Hell yeah.
All right. Now let's get into
the. What the fuck? All right.
Nitty gritty.
So,
no more sugar.
On the spot.
Anyway,
plug.
An Evening of This is the name of the album, and it's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. I took it off Apple Music.
Why?
Well, here's the thing people have to understand. About streaming services, which I know it's the internet. So people love streaming service. I love streaming. I get it. But I'm an independent artist. I had a little bit of help from a label. Not a lot. It's all, you know what I mean? And like for like Spotify and Apple Music, like it's literally like 500 streams and I get a nickel. So
oh
it's
my
like,
God.
And, really, I'm, and really I'm actually good. Not... being like no exaggeration
no totally.
It's like 500 streams for a nickel.
That is
so like, didn't Lady Gaga get like 57 million plays on her last album and she's like I got like $1,800
oh my
yeah,
God.
Something
Jesus
like, yeah it's awful so I mean I get it yeah. But it's like it's $9 and it's on Amazon, it's on iTunes right now, you can go get it. But I also wanted to say thank you because I came on last time and I put it out there in a different version.
Right.
And I only promoted it on this podcast. That was the only place I went and promoted it.
One stop
I didn't
shop.
Promote it on Facebook or anything like that. And we got to number 10 on iTunes.
Hey!
Whoa. I wanted to say...
Wow. You guys rule.
I know there's a lot of people in the chat room that say mean things to me.
They don't say that.
And that guy just said Dallas sucks.
That's a typo.
You know what?
That
is a typo.
The chat in the chat says, let the album
They out. Can say mean things in the chat because you know at the end of the day, they really love you. And they
well, no,
your
but
album.
Seriously, the Mega 64 fans have always been nice. And I honestly, I say thank you to you guys who went out and you bought it, or I don't know, because I don't know if like streams or anything count. I have no idea. I don't get actual numbers for like another week and a half.
I see.
So like, I don't know what the numbers are.
I know what the
numbers. It could have been like 32 people bought it just that day.
That's 32.
Get ready for a win count. Honestly, that's still awesome. So anyway, thank you to the Mega 64 fans for going out and buying the album and getting me to number 10. It's very, very cool. It made me feel very, very awesome. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Viewers on this show are always great in that regard. You know, it's like we have a great relationship with them. A couple of these guys, Nate. But the rest of them.
Yeah, most
amazing,
of them.
Are amazing people. I want to say thank you all again, as always, for watching this show. Ending on a kind of a sentimental note.
And you still have time to go buy it. So if we can get back into the top 10, that'd be great.
Dallas's album.
Let's get to number one.
iTunes, Amazon, an evening of this.
Speaking of your albums.
Follow me on Twitter at Dallas_MC.
I found a box that I hadn't opened since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the music I used to listen to in high school. It was a treasure trove of emo bands.
CDs.
That are no longer around. Yeah. It was good. But in there, I found two albums, and one of them was autographed by the band Bad Credit.
Oh, man. I got those two.
Autographed
copy. The only thing that you have it in your box where it's worth more.
Yeah, it's in the safe.
Yep.
And it's funny because it said from MC Cliff Mixtable.
Dr. Cliff Mixtable.
Sorry. Love you, KIT.
Yep.
And look at that.
And you guys, are here.
I thought to myself, when he wrote this, he probably thought, I don't fucking care or know who this person is. And ironically, we actually did KIT.
We did KIT.
You want to know? Can I take it to an extra embarrassing level?
Yeah.
On that same kind of note, I remember, Dallas, you coming to be in the version 3 episode you were in. Yeah. Where you were the Patriot guy.
And
I always had a thing in my bedroom. I still lived at home at that point, and I hate blank walls. I had to put shit all over my walls. And I remember coming up to my room to get something before you showed up. Like, I'm going to get the camera ready. And I realized that I had hung up a ton of Bad Credit shit in one corner.
Nice.
Like, I gotten used to seeing it, so I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
But it was like something you guys did for the reader or something like that.
Sure.
And it was hung up in there, and I felt really gross.
Oh, like, he's coming over.
I was like, what? This all needs to come down. And I took it down before you showed up.
Well,
because I was... I just felt it wasn't anything against you. I just felt like...
I get it.
We've crossed the line now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we're, you know...
No, we became... We all became buddies pretty quickly. I mean, it's because you guys are fun and you do fun stuff.
Yeah.
And as you could tell, that's the point of Bad Credit and the point of why we're all in a garage. Or not a garage. I don't know.
Yeah, warehouse.
It's a
studio.
That's the fancy word.
I forget, like, one time... I had a similar thing happened where I was working on a show one time. Like, I think we were working on, like... Maybe it was the Aquabat show or something like that, and we were talking about Lou Diamond Phillips in a really, really like positive way. I was discussing how much I loved Chavez. I have a fantasy football team, and for a long time they were called the Chavez. Like, I love that character, and there's just something about like La Bamba. Like, I like Lou Diamond Phillips, and when we wrote that. The spirit, whatever it is, Eagle Claw, Spirit of the Sun. When we wrote that, we wrote it for Lou Diamond Phillips, like in theory. Like, this was, this is Chavez.
Right. But we're not going
to
be able to get him.
We never told anybody that that's what it was, never said a word. And then they cast him as the part.
Oh, wow.
And so, which is the coolest, weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. So they didn't know
it was based off Chavez.
That's great.
And they cast him to do it. So, here's the thing, that we were sitting in the studio and we were like just standing or in the offices and we were talking and I was talking about like the same thing, like how much I love Chavez.
Yeah.
And he like walked in.
Oh,
and I was like, this is, I can't, I'm a big fan. Like, I didn't know what to do.
That's embarrassing.
Door. He walked in with a big posse and then we talked to like, he had a bunch of people with him, which was, they were all nice. We talked about Corn Nuts for a really long time. And then, but it was like all these people and like, photogs and stuff, and then Weird Al walked in like a little later.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah,
he walked in a little later, and he had just by himself. He's just like, "Hey, do you know who I'm supposed to talk to?" And I'm like, and he's like, "Talk
to me." That's how to roll.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't get the entourage thing.
Well, the thing with Weird Al was he was in that Team Unicorn video.
And oh.
Then, yeah, all his friends fucking abandoned him.
They were like, we don't want to be seen. Embarrassed.
Yeah, it's like they saw the Team Unicorn thing. And I was like, man, wouldn't be caught dead walking around with that guy. Which yeah. I don't get because I love Weird Al. And if he wanted me to be in his entourage, I would look past the Team Unicorn video.
It's just that taint.
But I heard most people just can't.
You get that unicorn stink on you.
It's very sad. Say this, when the album went to number 10 on iTunes, do you know who it was above?
Who is
Weird Al Yankovic?
You beat Weird Al.
Mandatory Fun.
He hasn't had a new album though in a while.
And then I know Rock. Oh, no, sorry.
I wouldn't have said that out loud.
But it was still kind of a weird moment.
That's awesome.
That I like. There was like the guy, and then two below that was like his best of thing. And then later on,
who was above you? Who the
nine?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin. I don't know if Kevin Hart has a recent album, but Jim Gaffigan.
Okay.
I was actually
too
between
clean.
Jim Gaffigan.
Too
loser.
Clean.
Like for
him.
A while, it was he Jim sucks. Gaffigan, me, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, it's a Gaffigan sandwich.
John maybe Mulaney. They confused you
yeah,
with Jim.
No, like Jim Gaffigan three times.
Yeah.
Possibly. But I forget who else.
Jim Gaffigan
before.
Has an album, one liners?
Anyway, but that right. was the Weird Al thing was a weird
Well, album. Everyone buy that album so we can beat fucking Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's beat I'd him. Love to be
Let's end it. Let's end this podcast on an anti Gaffigan note.
Okay.
Fuck that whole Gaffigan situation.
Fucking egos suck. What's it?
You're
Gaffigan.
Yeah, you're about to be Gaffagool.
Hot pockets suck. What is it that he's into?
Oh, you know, Bo Burnham was above me.
Oh, dude.
No. Because I don't know how I feel about
Bo. I can't fucking
I don't
Bo.
Either. You know what? I'm going to say negative.
I'm going to say negative.
No
too. More.
No Burnham, I'm going to say.
Was Tig Navarro on the list?
Tig Notaro?
Tig? You can't fuck with
no,
Tig.
No, we can't do that.
I like her.
I will say
I like
Tig Notaro had one,
I like her.
One of the greatest sets of all time.
No, so hell no.
Yeah. Her post-cancer set was
like, I that's great. Greatest. So good.
No,
so good.
No.
It was
no,
the greatest.
It was,
really good.
It was all crap.
I really like her.
Was Dimitri Martin?
Ew. He might have been.
No, that's not possible. Fuck been. That.
Yeah, I know that Louis C.K. was above me.
No,
for
was,
sure.
Oh,
Bill Louis F.
was above me for sure.
Joey Diaz or, above you?
Nope, he
was
not.
Was Joey Graffeca on the list?
That's a local.
You know,
Joey Graffeca.
You know what was above me?
No.
Was, Chappelle doesn't have a new record out. But you know who was above
I'm
me was some like a fake MAGA group, like they were called the Cucks or something like that.
Oh, no, they're great. No, I'm not. No, they're great.
They're like number two.
Oh. This is some like high
oh,
shit. Great.
Oh, the Cucks rule.
Yeah, the
like,
Cucks
like,
rule.
It was like the Cuckgriots or something like that. And like yeah. all their songs yeah,
they're great.
That's yeah. really funny.
MAGA.
Yeah, so like, funny.
It was really bad.
They're like, you know, fucking up all snowflakes.
Cucking up all.
Fucking them up.
Cuck them up.
Is this the after show?
No, it is right now.
Good night.
Wait.
Oh, do you,
hold on. Fit. Do
you
like
you
a
ever,
barnyard door ending.
Do you ever can cuck?
I don't ever cuck.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, though, if I'm really sad, I cuck.
Oh, okay.
Good night.
What?